Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain.
New mining legislation was unveiled yesterday, and it could pave the way for a new iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, January 17th. We will start this hour talking with the state legislator who introduced the new bill yesterday, or a sponsor of the new bill, and we will also hear from a tribal leader from the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe about his concerns after 7:30. And we'll welcome your questions and your views, too, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Republican State Senator Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst is with us now. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Joy. Good to be here.
We talked with you last year when this mining bill was considered for the first time. You were a state representative then, I believe, and also in support of the bill. Now you are the newly elected senator from your district, replacing former Democratic State Senator James Holprin, who did not run for another term. And we'll talk a little bit about the political significance of that in just a few minutes. But first, how does this new bill differ from last session's bill?
There's quite a number of technical changes with a bill that is quite lengthy. The original bill was about 180 pages. From what I'm seeing, this one's about 200 pages. There's a number of cross-references between various components of statute and rule. So we were able to do some cleanup there. We were also able to tighten up the language to make sure an applicant is complying with our environmental rules. But probably the biggest part of it is we passed a couple laws in the past session that have to do with Chapter 30 permits, which are bridges and culverts, and then also the Wetland Mitigation Program, which was Act 118 from the last session. And we were able to take this bill and apply current law, which was passed last session, in regards to those two issues, and be able to apply current law. So those were the primary changes that we will see in this. I do want to emphasize also, Joy, that we're going to go through the hearing process here. And as we said yesterday at the press conference, the authors, including myself, we are very open to ideas in regards to this bill. And we are going to have an open, transparent process here. It's going to go through the committee process. And then then we will allow amendments after the hearing process. And so it's going to be real open and transparent, and we hope to get some good ideas as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. Senator Tiffany, I know that we've had some listeners post on Facebook already opposition to this bill, same objection as last year, saying that you and the other Republicans really aren't the authors of this bill. The mining company that wants to open up that iron mine is the author of this bill. What's your response to that?
We've had input from all different types of parties. I mean, I've met with environmental groups. I've met with the people at Gogebic Taconite. I met with them a year ago. I met with them a couple weeks ago. Been meeting with legislators, Senator Cullen, members on our side of the aisle. And we've really put this through a rigorous process, myself and my staff here, since the elections in November, and tried to get the best ideas that are out there and incorporate them into the bill. And I don't think it's entirely unfair to say the original bill that goes way back a year and a half ago that was leaked out by Senator Jouk in April of 2011, you know, there was a tremendous amount of input by the company in that. But I can tell you, I got involved with this bill in about July or August of 2011, and since then, it has been me and my colleagues in the legislature, along with talking to various parties that know something about this issue, we've really sat down and made changes to this. Because remember, the bill we passed, AB 426, back in January of 2012, there were a number of amendments to that bill. And then when that left the Assembly, the compromise version that failed in the Senate by one vote had 22 amendments to it. So there's been a significant amount of input by the legislature to this, and there is with this bill also. This was written by the legislature. Representative Souter and I are the authors of it, and we take responsibility for it.
Yeah. What is your answer to those who are very concerned that opening up a mine in Ashland and Iron counties, in the Pinoki Hills, where the Bad River watershed is, that this is just taking too big of a risk, that this could destroy that pristine area?
That's why we put this through such a rigorous process, Joy. We have the same concerns. We want to make sure that this is done right. For example, over in Minnesota, they had the Duncan mine a few decades ago, that they had real problems with that. And we want to make sure nothing like that would happen again, and this bill makes sure that those bad things won't happen. We had a couple people at our press conference yesterday from up in that area who told really eloquent stories about their, like, third, fourth generation from up in the Iron County area. They lived with iron mining, unregulated iron mining. Their families have since the late 1800s. And they talked about swimming in lakes that were created as a result of this. Leslie Colasar was just so eloquent in talking about how she drinks the water out of one of the mine sites that's over just across the border in Michigan. And so they know what it's like to live with unregulated mining, and they understand that with the good, tough regulations that we're putting in place with this bill, that there's no reason that we can't do this.
Yeah, what's in the bill that makes sure that that's not going to happen?
We've taken the existing standards that we have, for example, air, surface water, and groundwater, that are contained in current statute and rule, and we're applying them to the bill. For example, I would encourage anyone who wants to take the time, dig up the Natural Resources Code, the 100 series of code in Chapter 140. That's where the groundwater standards are. And there's very specific limits put in there for emissions. And you can't exceed those emission levels. The Department of Natural Resources makes sure, like landfills and others, that they do not exceed those limits. We've applied them to this bill. The Department of Natural Resources, when they're looking at permitting a mine, they have to specifically apply those limits. So we've put the good, tough standards that have been created in Wisconsin over the decades right in this bill.
Senator Tiffany, my mother is from Iron Mountain, Michigan, and my father grew up in that area too. So I'm familiar with with iron ore mining.
You got some iron in your blood,
yeah,
then, Joy.
Yeah, I think so. We also see photographs of these open pit mines in Minnesota that I think somebody posted one on our Facebook page, and it doesn't look very pretty. How's this going to affect the beauty of northern Wisconsin?
Very good point. And I'm sure, Joy, you having grown up in the Upper Peninsula there, you've seen where we've had these unreclaimed mines. And you're absolutely right. They do not look particularly good. I would encourage people, if they want to see an example of what would be required with our bill, go take a look at Lake Wazee in Jackson County. That's the last iron mine that was running here in the state of Wisconsin. That was reclaimed, and I believe the reclamation was completed like in the early 1980s. It is a beautiful park now in Jackson County, and that's the type of thing that we're going to require with the reclamation process. When the company gets done, they will have to have it fully reclaimed, and we will not allow a scar in the land to stand after reclamation.
We're talking with Tom Tiffany. He is a Republican state senator from Hazelhurst and one of the authors of the new mining legislation that was unveiled yesterday, the legislation that would streamline the permitting process, make it easier or quicker to open an iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin. There is a proposed iron ore mine for Ashland and Iron counties. And we welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, January 17th. Coming up after 7:30, we'll get another perspective on this new mining legislation. We will talk with the tribal chair of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Ojibwe, about his concerns with the new mining legislation. Right now we are talking with Tom Tiffany, who is a Republican state senator from Hazelhurst and a supporter, an author of this new legislation. Let's take as many calls as we can now. Angela in Madison is with us. Hi, Angela.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm interested in the senator explaining how this new bill, as opposed to the bill of a year ago, is really doing things to protect the environment, the water, et cetera. I read the old bill. I haven't had a chance to read the new bill. And it seemed clear to me that the reason there was even a need for a new bill was basically to really reduce regulation and oversight for a very serious and potentially environmentally destructive mine.
Yes.
And I just want to make one comment. I also feel that the Bad River Band's opinions about this have been flouted by the majority in the state government.
I don't know what that means, Angela.
I guess I mean that I don't think they've had that their opinions about something that's going to affect their land have been given due respect.
Yeah. All right. Are you giving those opinions due respect, Senator Tiffany?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you look, we've had hearings, both Republicans and Democrats, across the state. I mean, this is one of the most, as Representative Honnadel said yesterday at the press conference, this is one of the most thoroughly vetted issues we've had over the past decade, if not over the last few decades. And the tribes have certainly been at the table at those hearings. We've heard from Chairman Wiggins and others. And so we've certainly heard from the tribes in regards to this. And I think if the tribal members, if they take a look at this bill, what I talked about just before the break, Joy, where we've taken the existing standards from state statute and rule, and we're applying it to this bill. So when the Department of Natural Resources does the review of the bill, by the way, this bill does not permit a mine. It just puts in place the permitting process. The Department of Natural Resources, as well as federal agencies like the Corps of Engineers and the EPA, will have a say in this. They're the ones, the Department of Natural Resources, to review the permit and decide, yes, we can issue a permit, or no, we can't. And they have to meet Wisconsin's high environmental standards, a mining applicant, in order to get a permit.
So the existing standards are in place and the standards have not been relaxed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And once again, I'm going to allude back to Chapter 140. I really urge people to take a look at Chapter 140, the groundwater requirements here in the state of Wisconsin, where you know, you've got limitations on chloroform, mercury, arsenic, various substances like that. And there's limits set where enforcement action has to be taken by the Department of Natural Resources. This is applied to the bill. So if they would ever exceed that, any mining company, they would have to cease operations. And I think one of the big things that's going on here, Joy, is that, you know, I saw on some of the anti-mining social media yesterday, they were talking about there's exemptions and stuff like that. And the Department of Natural Resources, under current law, can offer exemptions. We allow that also with this bill. But at the end of the day, they still have to meet the standard. So let's say, for example, when you look at the Flambeau mine up in Ladysmith, they received an exemption where normally a mine would have to be 300 feet from a body of water, in this case the Flambeau River. They got an exemption to be 130 feet from that water body, but they were not exempted from meeting our standards for emissions.
Yeah. Now, this bill, compared to current law, doesn't it limit the time that the DNR considers the mining application? Doesn't it limit challenging any DNR decisions once to try to bring this to court?
You know, I think the one accurate portrayal that that I agree with some mining opponents is that we are changing the process. It is not as open-ended of a process. There are hard time limits that are put in place for the regulators to be able to make a decision. And here, I'll just give you a real quick blurb here from our legislative counsel, the attorneys that review bills for the legislature, and they're nonpartisan. They state in here, however, several stages in the process are not subject to a statutory timeline. And that's current legislation. Are not subject to a statutory timeline. So in other words, it can go on forever. That's why you've not seen mining in Wisconsin, is there are not timelines put in place. We put in timelines, but we think they're very reasonable. Under this bill, Joy, probably about 2.5 to 3 years would be the permitting process. I think that's a reasonable amount of time for our regulatory agencies to be able to review this.
Next, we go to Al in La Crosse. Hello, Al.
Good morning. I'd like to ask the representative why the legislature has ignored all the scientific evidence about the presence of sulfides in both the ore and the waste rock, and went along with the public relations of Gogebic Taconite that this type of mine is different from other types of mining already being regulated in Wisconsin and which are subject to the restrictions of the mining moratorium law, which require that any ore body that has the capability of producing acid mine drainage and poisonous heavy metals in the environment has to meet the criteria where they've demonstrated by example where they've mined in a successfully in a sulfide ore body without contaminating groundwater or surface water.
All right. Because we do have limited time, we've been told that ferrous mining is different, ferrous iron ore mining is different than sulfide mining, and the sulfide mining is more hazardous to the environment, as Al was mentioning. Does this deposit in Ashland and Iron Counties, is this a sulfide deposit?
Not in what is the traditional sense of the word. Now, your caller is correct that there could be some sulfides in there, and that's not the tradition of this ore body running all the way from northern Minnesota around Lake Superior to the upper peninsula of Michigan. Is normally you do not find that. Even like the White Pine mine, there's never been significant acid drainage that has come from that mine. If you talk to the people that were at our press conference yesterday from up in the Hurley area, they talked about how they swim in the lakes and all the rest. I mean, there's massive tailings piles that sit above the Montreal River, just 200 feet from the Montreal River, cause no damage to it. Now, that's what we've found over the years with iron mining in northern Wisconsin. Now, there is a remote possibility that there could be a significant amount of sulfides in that rock, just like the Duncan mine in northern Minnesota. That's why we put in a rigorous waste characterization process. That overburden has to be rigorously reviewed via the environmental impact statement to make sure that there are not excessive sulfides that would cause acid drainage. If there is, the company has to deal with them properly so we do not get acid drainage.
All right. Thank you, Al. Let's go to Eugene and Viola next. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Joy. From what I know, and I spent a number of years on reservations in South Dakota, it's called jurisdiction. And the state can get all the permits they want. And if the tribes say no, there isn't anything the state can do about it. It's called federal tribal jurisdiction on the reservations. And if it happens to be affecting the tribal water going in there, that still puts a stop to it if the tribes say no.
Yeah. So what about that, Senator Tiffany?
Well, I would just say in terms of what are we concerned about here? We want to be able to, we've got a company that's willing to invest $1.5 billion in Wisconsin. It's rare. They're going to create thousands of jobs as a result of this. I mean, go up to Iron County where you've got one of the highest unemployment rates in the state. It is the oldest county in the state of Wisconsin. And it's because there's a lack of opportunity. We can do this, and we can do it in an environmentally safe manner. And I would say to you that if there's a permit issued here, any emissions, any water emissions, will probably be cleaner than the existing Bad River watershed has currently.
Patrick on Facebook writes, I understand that if the new state laws do not meet federal standards, the state will no longer have much to say in the permitting process, that the feds will have the last word on it, and it will take longer.
Also, I would like to see a timeline for job creation. Well, what about this whole thing about the feds taking over? Or the federal standards, that the state laws have to meet federal standards.
Yeah, absolutely. The minimum standards are set by the federal government. We have to meet them, and that's what our Department of Natural Resources does. By the way, just an interesting little fact for some of your listeners. The Army Corps of Engineers, which is, you know, that's been one of the talking points as we've been going along, that we'd be able to match up with their process, they don't even get involved with the mining permitting process in Michigan. They turned it over to the Michigan Department of Natural Resources and allow them to do it.
Let's take a call from Christy in Milwaukee next. Hello, Christy.
Hi, I'm calling because my understanding was that Tim Cullen and Dale Schultz were working on an alternative mining bill that took into consideration some of the public input that they received that's being excluded from the mining bill that the Republicans are pushing forward. And I guess my concern is that the Republicans are pushing their mining bill because they have a majority. They feel like they can get this through, and it's kind of radical. And I'd much rather see something that's more bipartisan, that had some of that input. And I'm wondering why, you know, all the hard work that Tim Cullen and Dale Schultz did is being overlooked.
I really appreciate that question, Joy. Mm-hmm. We have not overlooked that. In fact, I met with Senator Cullen just before Christmas and talked to him about this, talked to him briefly at the State of the State in regards to this. When we do hearings, Senator Cullen will certainly be invited to be able to speak. And so we're reviewing what they came up with, and we're looking very closely at that to see if there's some elements that might be able to fit into this bill. You do remember that Senator Cullen has not introduced a bill at this point, so I really can't comment to something that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I think he's going to do that on Friday, which brings up the point that your election to the state Senate, as well as a couple of other state Republican state senators, means that Republicans can pass this bill without Dale Schultz voting for it. What do you expect to see happen?
I have not approached it that way at all, Joy. I've been in conversation with a number of Democrat senators as well as Republicans, and I would emphasize there are Republicans that are asking as tough a questions as anybody in the building here. They want to make sure that we have a good bill here. And so we're working in a bipartisan manner, and we hope people will support us because this is not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is about creating jobs in the state of Wisconsin. We can have prosperity and a clean environment at the same time.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Joy.
Tom Tiffany, Republican State Senator from Hazelhurst. The news is next. In our last half hour, we heard from one of the authors of a bill that would change mining laws in Wisconsin. It would change the permitting process for opening a mine in Wisconsin. It would make it easier to build a proposed iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin. The new bill is largely unchanged from a bill that was narrowly defeated by one vote last year. Now we will hear from a tribal leader about his opposition to it. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Thursday, January 17th, and we'll continue to take your questions and reactions about whether we can have safe iron mining in Ashland and Iron Counties, in the Pinoki Hills, in the Bad River watershed, which flows north from the proposed mine to Lake Superior. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. As I mentioned, the legislation closely mirrors a Republican bill that died in the state Senate last March. Under the new bill, the State Department of Natural Resources would have up to 480 days to issue a mining permit. People could challenge the permit decision, but not before it's made. Mining companies could offset damage to wetlands by restoring wetlands elsewhere, among other things. Now let's welcome in our next guest. We are happy to have with us Mike Wiggins, tribal chairman of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Ojibwe. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
What is your reaction to this bill that was just unveiled yesterday?
Well, I think you know, it's a 200-page bill, and I'm still trying to read through it all, but it definitely is similar to AB 426 that failed in the legislature last year. I think one of the reactions I have is to first start with reminding anybody who's listening about the footprint of the Pinocchio Mountain open pit mine site. This mining bill is designed to benefit a particular company, an outside Florida-based company that's operating for profit, is essentially set to, you know, mine in Ashland County. Well, the area there in the Pinokies is just upstream from Copper Falls State Park, which is a Wisconsin gem, and contains an incredibly diverse, water-rich area. Prior to the wetlands bill that was just introduced by, you know, some of the same folks this past year, that used to be classified as an area that was an area of special natural resource interest. Essentially, a gem, an area that was so important and vital and critical that it could possibly never, that it couldn't possibly ever be mitigated or replaced if we lost it. Well, through changes in the legislature and the wetlands bill, that ANSRE designation, that area of special natural resource interest, kind of disappears. Mm-hmm. And we see that in Bad River as, you know, a systematic approach to essentially pull away all of the safeguards that essentially recognize the Pinocchio Mountains and the headwaters of the Bad River watershed as a crucial, vital place. Downstream from Pinokies are the Kakagan Sloughs and, of course, the Bad River Reservation and the Bad River wetland ecosystem. It's internationally recognized as wetlands of worldwide importance. It's the foundation for our tribe's connection to, you know, the wild rice beds and all of the other sustainable food components that come out of those areas, along with the sacred and cultural connections. But looking at the Pinocchio Hills all by themselves, it's an unbelievable gem for Wisconsin, and what's proposed there is the likes of which Wisconsin has never seen before.
Yeah. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous area. But Chairman Wiggins, what about Senator Tiffany when he says that that's not going to happen? No one wants something awful like that to happen. That this bill does not guarantee that mine's going to open up. Number one, it just means that the DNR, if it can be done safely, can issue this permit.
What the bill does is it builds on a false premise that the risk and impacts associated with an iron mine are different from that of a sulfide mine. The geologic composition in the Pinocchio Hills, you know, through the work by the USGS and geologists throughout the 20th century, they've clearly identified the presence of sulfide minerals in that mountainside. And I think to sidestep that and essentially draft legislation that minimizes and almost forgets that reality is really something we view as a threat. We can, you know, I've said this before, we can put whatever ink we want down on paper, but the geologic composition, what's in that earth out there, when it's dug up and pulverized in a talcum powder, is going to speak louder than any legal fabrications on paper.
Is there anything that could be done to this legislation, Chairman Wiggins, that would make you support it or that would ease your concerns?
Well, I've never heard a real logical account of what's wrong with our current mining law, other than we want to essentially change the process to benefit a mining company and permit. The current mining law is a result of bipartisan effort and has, you know, successfully permitted a mine. You know, in the case of Ladysmith and a Flambeau mine. part of what's going on with the changes in the that quote unquote notion of streamlining is that the mining company is being let off the hook on having to be transparent and forthright on the front end. On the front end of the permitting process is the only real chance the state of Wisconsin has to protect its communities, its citizens, its waters. By allowing the mining company to submit general and vague mining plans, essentially just an aerial photo, by allowing the mining company to not have to disclose details of the geologic composition of the area that they intend to mine, we see essentially a free pass being given to the mining company, a free pass that could contain unbelievably harmful impacts. And in the permitting process, you know, is meant to be a filter. It's not supposed to be garbage in, garbage out. It's meant to be a filter to protect the citizens of Wisconsin and ultimately uphold the Wisconsin public trust doctrine that sets out that waters belong to everybody.
Respond, if you will, to Governor Walker's statement on the introduction of this mining legislation. He said yesterday, "I applaud the legislature for focusing on mining legislation, which could lead to the creation of thousands of private sector jobs, reforming current law to allow for a predictable and practical method to obtain a mining permit will help move our state forward. While we have to continue to work together with the legislature to get a bill that reforms the permitting process, while keeping intact environmental safeguards that protect our air, land, and water resources."
You know, the jobs claims have never had a independent, objective basis. From the moment Gugebic Taconite issued their, you know, private hit piece on economic data, the jobs claims have shot into numbers that, you know, it makes me wonder where the data is coming from at this point. GPAC, by its own admission, when they came here in a public hearing up in Ashland, acknowledged that there'd probably be about 30 local people hired and at the mine site, and that they would be paired up with around 30 folks from the company itself. And that over the first couple of years, as they started to go, that's kind of how it would be, and they'd look to develop their labor pool. Their economic data then proclaimed 700 jobs. That's morphed into, if I remember the State of the State address, 5,800 now. And you know, similar to how the mining permit process is going to work for GTAC, there's no scientific or objective analysis that went into those numbers, and you know, it's just really kind of frustrating, because not only is there kind of staggering job claims that come out of nowhere, but there's also a complete disregard or absence of the true discussion about environmental impacts, you know, related to sulfide minerals and also the, you know, the obliteration and removal of the headwaters of the Battle River watershed.
Let me take a short pause and invite listeners to join us with your questions, your concerns for Mike Wiggins, tribal chairman of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe, who is with us to talk about his concerns regarding the mining legislation that was unveiled yesterday. This is a legislation that would change the permitting process and could pave the way for a new proposed iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, January 17th. Coming up after 8, we will talk with the co-author of the book, Quinoa Revolution. Find out about this superfood and how to incorporate incorporate it into your diet. That's coming up after 8. Right now we are talking about mining in Wisconsin and the new mining legislation that was unveiled at the state capitol yesterday. We are talking with a tribal leader about his opposition to this legislation. Mike Wiggins is the chair of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe. And Patrick on Facebook writes, "Dig," meaning he's pro-mining. "Everybody I talk to or hear from in Iron County, where the unemployment rate is 12%, wants this to happen. I have a place near Mercer, and I've found that the only people who do not want to see this are the transplants from Illinois, Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, and Dane County." What are your thoughts on that, Chairman Wiggins?
Well, I think, I don't think that's accurate. The public hearings that have accompanied any changes in the mining legislation in Wisconsin have been unbelievably oppositional. You know, the Assembly Committee, the Joint Finance Committee, no matter where they tried to hold their meetings in the state, Northland residents turned out in droves to send a message of opposition. But the other thing is, you know, the Iron County and all of our northern area is challenged, economically. It's always been that way. The thought that this open pit mine and GTEC are going to bring manna from heaven is just baseless. I mean, all you have to do is look to the Minnesota Iron Range, where unemployment is still rampant. I always think of a friend, Bob Tammen, you know, who worked in the mines up there in Minnesota, who says right now you can go to the Iron Range and you won't find a healthy downtown. These types of projects are incredibly profitable for the mining company executives and their cronies. The mom and pop businesses on the street are still going to be trying to squeeze out a living through the tourism-based economy, and that's the tragedy. I mean, the other day, we're at a tribal economic development summit in Flambeau, Wisconsin, talking about how we'd like to contribute and make the northern Wisconsin, you know, a worldwide tourist destination. Consider those prospects with a 1,000-foot hole in the ground, quarter mile long, toxicity producing project in the headwaters of the Bad River watershed. Not only is there going to be the challenge of trying to market our area in the midst of this industrialized, I guess, notion of the Northwoods, but if we started the discussion with Senator Tiffany or any other legislator that wants this so badly, and we started that discussion on the day mining ended, through that filter of economic development, through that filter of sustainability for our communities, through the filter of jobs for another 100 or 200 or 500 years, that would be an incredibly painful discussion for them, because the very thing that makes these communities rich up here in the Northland are our natural resources, are these pristine waters where brook trout are reared in Class A streams, all emptying out into Lake Superior. That's why people come here. That's why the businesses that are successful here are thriving. And it's why people in the Northland choose to raise their families here. This type of project is so devastating to the environment around it that Wisconsin's forefathers have current mining law to deal and vet these types of projects. What we're seeing right now is a giveaway of Wisconsin's surface water and groundwater to the mining company. And there's going to be issues with air, too, when you think about a 1,000-foot hole in the ground with waste rock getting crushed into talcum powder.
Let me bring in another caller. Gene in Wauwatosa is with us. Hello, Gene.
Hi, good morning, Joy. Thank you. As I'm listening for this hour, I hear National Geological Survey and the Army Corps of Engineers. Is there any federal help here to keep these waterways in the same condition they're in now? And sorry about my lack of geography about the specific area. Is this close to Canada or Minnesota? That area, that aspect might help?
What? Go ahead, Chairman Wiggins.
Well, we're, you know, in northern Wisconsin, we're about an hour from the Minnesota border, and we're about 30 minutes from the Michigan border, right up on Lake Superior. The Pinoki Mountains are the upper highlands of waters that all start and flow north into Lake Superior. So,
I think she's wondering if the federal government might intervene or somehow help protect the environment.
Well, there's going to be a federal track, and that federal track it represents part of the absurdity of some of the notions and dreams of streamlining that's being put forth in this current bill. We've already heard from the Army Corps of Engineers the state of Wisconsin's already heard from the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA that these types of changes that they're bringing are so radical and contrary to federal law that it's going to actually make the whole permitting process holistically longer. And because in the past and under current Wisconsin mining law, those things can be done in tandem with federal law and state law kind of working together for the benefit of citizens and the mining company too, because you would hope that no mining company starts out looking to harm communities around them, right? So it's to the benefit of everybody. What's happening right now with the streamlining and erosions to notions of protecting the water is that it's going to end up making the whole process more cumbersome and lengthy.
And as a sovereign nation, as a Native American tribe in this state, Mike Wiggins, are you going to try to stop this legally somehow?
Well, I mean, the Bad River Tribe is going to try and protect its waterways. The scale of this type of project has never before been seen in Wisconsin, and I'm hearing everyone tout the shaft mining that's been done in the past over in Iron County as proof, that everything's fine. Well, mountaintop removal is a lot different than shaft mining, and when you look at the scale of a GTEx open pit mine, it would be mountaintop removal for that area just off of our borders. Because of the direct flow of waters, with all the streams, creeks, rivers, groundwater aquifers that flow directly into our reservation, we are going to do everything we can to protect our water resources, and our federally delegated authority is set up and designed to do just that. I think before that ever happens, citizens of Wisconsin and environmental groups all across the state are going to be litigating first, because again, through the Constitution of Wisconsin itself, the public trust doctrine holds that all waterways and are belong to everyone, mm-hmm. that nobody can give them away. And I think this legislation is going to raise lots of issues along those levels.
Carrie in Augusta, we're almost out of time. Carrie, if you could please be brief.
Yes, thank you. I understood that recently the Wisconsin tribal community requested a seat at the table for the legislation or the permitting process, and they were denied. You were denied that? Can you speak to that?
We have just a minute to go.
Yeah. We put forth some environmental principles that made sense. Those weren't, when you look at the new mining legislation, those weren't even considered at all. And, ultimately, I think this is going to play out in court, with Wisconsin citizens first. But if it gets to our doorstep, we're going to have to do what we can to protect our waterways. And the EPA, the Army Corps of Engineers, will be there to help us do that. What other considerations come along, we'll have to just see, when we get there.
We'll have to leave it there for now. Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Mike Wiggins, tribal chairman of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Ojibwe. We heard from Tom Tiffany, Republican state senator from Hazelhurst and one of the authors of this new mine permitting legislation, in our first half hour. Thanks to Rob Ferret for producing the hour. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster for on-air direction and to Amanda Magnus for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.